For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome to another Sports Injury Central Pro Football Doc podcast here as we enter a new era. Yes, this is the first in-season podcast of the 2023 NFL season, but more importantly, this is the first time we're going to be part of the Believe Network podcast. And special thanks to Believe and Eric Weinberger. I don't even remember how I first met Eric, but I think it might have been through Twitter, and we've chatted over the years. He was an NFL Network executive, and he's been very supportive and complimentary. As a matter of fact, he's always said, look, if he were still at NFL Network, he would have a medical person, especially at the combines and other things, and commenting on draft and other things. So he believes in our concept of injuries as it relates to it, and injury analysis versus he obviously was very connected to a ton of great reporters. And look, Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, they all report on injuries.
Right.
But we're the only ones that do injury analysis. And it's because of Eric's belief in us that we believe in Believe and will be on their network. Looking forward to a lot of, good synergistic relationships and doing more of the same stuff as injury analysis. So Sports Injury Central, there's some fantasy stuff, gambling stuff coming, et cetera. But thanks for listening and watching and looking forward, believing in the Believe Network, so to speak. All right, Jacob's here. Taylor's here. Let's take it away. Week one is almost over. Still the big Aaron Rodgers game.
Yeah. That's what they're calling it, aren't they? Yeah.
No, are they?
I mean, no one else exists. No one else exists.
It's amazing. It's like the Aaron Rodgers game. And, internally, that's the last game left. And of course, we'll have a lot of week two stuff, but we'll talk about a lot of different things. But it's just interesting, the power of media. Like, even in the room, there were a lot of people in our Sports Injury Central command center room. There were a lot of people who did not love Aaron Rodgers. And I always said, look, Aaron Rodgers is not what you think.
Right.
He's no different than a lot of other quarterbacks. He's likable. It's just what you're seeing you don't like. Now, all of a sudden, you see him in the Jets situation, and he's super likable.
Yep.
Like that PR, you can't buy. So anyways, let's talk about it. Where do you want to start off, Jacob?
Well, in the alternate universe that my Niners took him over Alex Smith, I would love Aaron Rodgers. Just want to put that out there. But let's start with three big fantasy names that we're looking that are going to
impact week two. Wow, you haven't forgotten
that, huh?
It's been a long time, too.
Yeah.
Still holding that. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
It's not good.
Yeah.
You need some therapy, Jacob?
No,
you're
right. I'm happy with Brock Purdy. No complaints. three big fantasy names we're looking at. The rest, you can go to the website, sicscore.com. Got sick insights. We update that every Sunday, all throughout the week, every day with the role of information. Again, analysis, not information. We know what is being reported, but we trust video and Doc's expertise, 17 years in the NFL.
Now,
to give us info.
Don't just run over sick insights. People on Twitter ask me all the time, what about this? What about this? Yes, you can go to the website, but Sick Insights is a better place to go than even Twitter, because Twitter, you got to scroll to find it. You guys have the top 10, 12, 15, 20 injury insights
right on the front page.
Right on the front page, right. And bookmark it, right?
Yep.
And go to it to check your fantasy lineup and this, that, the other. That's not to be lost here. But anyways, let's roll, Jacob.
Biggest name, biggest news heading into week two is going to be Travis Kelce. Will he play? Big matchup against the Jaguars. Will the Chiefs fall to 0-2? All this stuff. So where are we at with Travis Kelce? I know there's some conflicting reports, a lot of medical, I guess, info. Just Jay Glazer hopped on, not to call him out, but he has his breaking news every Sunday morning, and so he had a very interesting one that they were worried about the plateau fracture, and then that it's a very deep bone bruise.
Right.
And
he said initially they were worried about tibial plateau fracture, and that they were thankful to see that it was, quote, just a bone bruise, but it was deep. And he made a point of saying they drained 45 cc's of blood from his knee.
How much is that exactly? Like in like a layman term, I guess?
Well, why don't you look on your soda can look at...
They don't usually list the cc's on there.
They do.
Really?
I got milliliters usually.
What's the difference?
I don't know.
Me. I don't know.
I said layman, Doc. Layman.
A milliliter is a cubic centimeter. Cubic centimeter.
Next time I go to Europe.
Look on your soda can. I mean, come on.
Nobody reads a fine print. I don't know.
45
cc's in there.
Is okay. This is a cup of coffee, right, guys. Yeah. I can't show it to you, but 45 cc's is probably this much. But it would fill up. The biggest syringe you would typically see, the average syringe in a doctor's office would overflow.
Okay.
The biggest syringe you would typically see, it would fill it 3/4.
Okay.
So it's not nothing.
Okay. Yeah.
And the fact that it was reported as blood, to me, is significant. Look, I know Jay Glazier. No issues with Jay Glazier. He's really dialed in. I used to see him all the time at the Pro Bowls. And so he's really dialed in with the players. Kudos to Jay Glazier. The question is, where did he get the information related to it was blood? I will say this, and I know he's a great reporter. If Travis Kelce had 45 cc's of blood drained from his knee, not only was he not close to playing on Thursday, which we believe anyways,
right,
and we'll talk about that, but he is not playing week two. The significance of blood is there is structural damage. That means if there is a deep bone bruise with some sort of violation of the articular cartilage surface, i.e. a variety of tibial plateau fracture, or some structural damage to the capsule or otherwise. Now, if it was blood-colored fluid, you know, anyone who's dyed Easter eggs know you put one drop in of the color and the whole thing spreads. Yep. If it was red in color, look, when you drain blood, it is not the color of my shirt. That's fresh, oxygen-filled arterial blood. If you look at the six score, I don't know what you call platform, near the logo on what is my bottom right, the deep, darkest red is not dark enough for actual blood that has been sitting in the knee. That's deoxygenated.
Okay.
So if you see something that's closer to the color of my shirt, a layperson could call it blood, but it's actually just blood tinged.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Deep color, not brown, but like deepest red you
maroon.
Can imagine. Maroonish.
Yeah. Yeah.
The bottom of our screen to the right, as I'm saying, as I look at it, so maybe it's on your left. I don't know. Wherever the Sports Injury Central logo is, SIC logo is, on the bottom of the red frame, it's deeper than that in terms of red, dark red color. So I'm not saying the report was wrong.
It's just,
I'm just saying,
the game of telephone is,
lay people, et cetera. And we'll talk about it later on how Travis Kelce's bone bruise is not the same bone bruise as Anthony Richardson.
Right.
And that's how things get lost in translation. Okay. And that's what we're here to do. So with that being said, look, let's back up a little bit here. We all know by now what we were saying last week turned out to be true. Travis Kelce was not close to playing on Thursday. Game time decision, true game time
decision.
We talked about it.
Yeah.
But like
a workout and a pool workout.
You worked him out in a pool, not on the football field. How close was he?
Right.
Okay, I get it. You know, it's part of the coach speak / media team speak game. He wasn't close to playing. And I do not believe the quality Chiefs medical staff would risk Travis Kelce in the long term. They were always going to put a kibosh on it, and they did. And look, it's like saying we're testing out Michael Phelps on an exercise bike to see if he can swim in a pool. I mean, it's like, come on.
He wasn't swimming that day.
I mean, he's not swimming. He's not in the pool. Travis Kelce's not on dry land. He wasn't ready to go. And we said, even before that, there's no guarantee for week two. I get there's lots of optimism, and I hope he plays. Look, my son was very disappointed. He loves the Chiefs, and the Chiefs need him, right? Tony wasn't fully in regular season form, and they kept feeding him the ball. I mean, there's a reason why Patrick Mahomes completed passes to, what, 8 or 10 different people.
It's a mixed bag over there at the moment.
And they needed Tony, who didn't answer the bell, so to speak, playing. They need Travis Kelce, but you can't, as a medical staff, let need and team needs in the short term override medical concerns. The worry is the bone bruise can get worse. Look, why did they put him in a pool? They didn't want him to impact.
Right.
Yeah. If they didn't want him to impact, testing it out on Thursday, is 10 days enough? Not really. We can talk about microscopic fracture, bone bruise, almost interchangeably. And we'll get to it on JSN with the Seahawks, right? In his wrist fracture. This is why it is far from done that Travis Kelce will play this week. And the more credence Jay Glazer's report has, the less chance that Travis Kelce has to play in week two. Bone bruises heal in weeks. It's almost 2 weeks from the bone bruise to the next game.
Right.
I'm not saying it's impossible, but, you know, Jay Glazer is reliable. And if his report, you know, maybe there's interpretation differences. Suffice it to say, if you're a fantasy owner, you got to make contingency plans. And do not be surprised if you're a Chiefs fan or better that Travis Kelce gets ruled out or perhaps is limited in what he can do in week two. And that's based on what we're saying medically. Once again, injury analysis, and no one's perfect, and we can't be perfect. As it played out, we were exactly right about Thursday. Next week, iffy at best. I would have said very doubtful for Thursday, almost impossible. Look, the reporting could have been inaccurate, and it wasn't a bone bruise at all. Then we would be wrong. But now I'd say questionable, you know, at best, 50-50 at best, not impossible, but 50-50 at best for Travis Kelce, given the current information.
I remember the comp I gave you was Gronkowski in 2015, and that was 14 days after. He did have a good game, 87 and touch after, but that's it's different types of bone bruises, right? It's not the same for every player.
I don't remember specifically Gronkowski 2 weeks from a bone bruise. Remember, it's being described as a deep bone bruise,
right?
Not a
just a
small bone bruise.
Yes, exactly. So, yes. I mean, I don't want to compare the two exactly.
And I know. This is why I said 2 weeks. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm quite sure the Chiefs will make the right decision.
Right.
Now, what you hear leaked to the media and what the head coach says, we get it. I mean, like I said, I was on the other side with the Chargers. There were times that I'd be asked about what should we say, and we weren't saying look, no one likes to lie. Just talk, you know, no one wants to give an outright lie.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying we're taking it day by day and we're hopeful that he can play. Those are all true things.
They're all true.
Right.
Yes,
and they're not lying in terms of what's going on. So that's Travis Kelce. I hope the news is better than we're giving it. But, you know, my man Jay, you know, is usually on it.
That's where we're trying to help you in your fantasy lineups. Plan for Kelce being out this week. Maybe pick up some guys. Be active on the waiver wire.
No, it's a lot easier when you could know on Thursday.
Right.
Have all your this week he's on
Sunday.
He's
going to be on Sunday. Yes.
Right? I don't know if it's the early set or late set of games, but you've got more decisions to make potentially.
Good comparison.
Early set of games,
darling. Anthony Richardson, we have him at 6-score 90. Travis Kelce's current 6-score is 60, pending Wednesday's practice report and all that stuff. Richardson, why is it different? Why are we not smelling smoke? Why are we not thinking they're hiding anything?
First of all, because we came up with that 6-score in opinion without even hearing from Shane Steichen.
Right.
Yeah. I know Shane Steichen. He's a good guy. I mean, but once again, it's always coach speak. And we didn't even factor in what Shane Steichen has said to any of this. We looked at the video of that goal line hit And remember, we were in the war room here and said, like, we don't see a lot on this play. Don't see much at all. He's able to continue. He's hurt more than injured, at least on that goal line play.
Right. Now, he didn't come quarter.
Yeah, but it was less than 2 minutes. He didn't come back in. Gardner Minshew finished it up. Yep. But it was a 2-score game, you know, at that point in time. And so I get it. But then it turns out that Anthony Richardson himself said it was an earlier play.
Actually, his first career run, 12-yard run in the first quarter. Yep.
Yeah, and you guys went back and found the play. And that type of knee injury, bone bruise, is different than Travis Kelce's. Travis Kelce's was a misstep where the ends of his knee bone jammed together. Anthony Richardson's bone bruise is like getting kicked directly, falling on it.
Right.
Who was the receiver late game that returned?
Like Chris Olave, they got
Chris Olave
leg whipped and then
leg whipped. That's a direct bruise. And that's you're okay. It's just a bruise, as that famous book was kind of. That's a bruise.
Right.
It's not a bone bruise like we talk about here. Here, his bone may have been bruised from a direct blow, but it's not the same thing because it's not the articular surface. So it's a pain tolerance issue. The only reason we have him at 90 is green. Anthony Richardson will play against the Houston Texans.
Not a Lamar Jackson bone bruise either. Not that.
Lamar Jackson's bone bruise was different two seasons ago in his ankle.
Yep. That's why I like calling it a contusion. Don't even confuse yourself with the bone and bruise.
Bone bruise sounds bad. Contusion's like, all right, like you said, it's just a little bruise.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the nomenclature. Right. We're looking at source material of the injury, and his bone bruise is different than Travis Kelce's. The only thing is, can he swell and be sore? Sure. Look, if he were a pocket guy, his score would be 95. The only reason he's 90, 88, 89, 90 is because he makes a lot of
Phillip
plays
Rivers,
with his
Matt
legs.
Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan will be fine with that bone bruise.
Phillip Rivers would lower his score at all.
Yeah. Wouldn't he be talking about it?
Yes. We might even raise it and say, good, don't be tempted to run. Yeah. Sorry, Phillip.
Yeah,
Richardson didn't have 9 rushes for 28 yards in the touchdown after, so wasn't hesitant to run,
So, and I'm glad you bring up Richardson, because I always feel like I'm always negative. Like, it went on a Ravens podcast this morning, and they're among the most injured teams.
Oh, we'll get
to everyone's bad. Like, I like it when I hear, oh, it's good, they're going to be all right, you know, kind of deal. And that's the case for Richardson.
Well, the last one I have, a Raven, Mark Andrews, we have him a 6-score, 66, limited in practice all last week with the quad issue that popped up with about 2 weeks left of training camp. So he had 2 weeks to rest that, limited last week. Are we expecting anything different this week for him?
Well,
do we need to see the FP to even believe the Ravens what they're doing over there?
You know, I know Jim Harbaugh. I don't know John Harbaugh. I'm sure if I ever met John Harbaugh, I would like him.
Yeah.
But he's doing his job.
Yep.
Remember the last two seasons? Oh, Lamar's looking good. He's close. He missed the last month of the season in both of the last years. Coach Harbaugh, you got me. Okay. there's no video, no injury, nothing on Mark Andrews. I made a bad assumption of maybe he'll play. He was LP all week. And, quad would affect him getting off the line of scrimmage, but he's such a difference maker. 85%, 80% is a good day. I thought Mark Andrews might have a chance to play. We lowered his 6-score some, but we did not lower it enough. Now, you have to understand the definition of LP. The definition of LP is I took one snap in practice, or I did individual period in practice, one play. Or I did 99% of the plays, but not everything. That's LP.
So
which
range
was it for? And that's the legal definition of LP. You were on the practice field and did something, but you didn't do everything. There you go. Now, here's the thing. It's not because maybe it is a little bit because I am human, that the Ravens got me there in terms of what.
Even though we know how they are and they still got
us. But I don't try and impugn the qualities on people. I just look at the positive. So here's the thing. His quad injury was when?
Early August, maybe 2 weeks into August. Yeah.
So if it hasn't gotten better in a month, is it going to get magically full in another week? The answer is no. That's why his 6-score is still lowered. It's at 66. Now, if we see an FP and whatever, would we raise it? Now, FP is you did everything, but it doesn't mean you're 100%.
Right.
right? Mm-hmm. We can go through other examples of that.
I'll tell you one right now, Breece Hall. He was FP for the game today on Monday. We don't think at six score that he's going to be a FP for the game, right?
And you guys who follow along know I've said Dalvin Cook greater than Breece Hall, and I've taken slings and arrows for that. Now the reports are out that the Jets are going to be careful with Breece Hall and, you know, early season. Yes, they should. This is what we've been saying. They didn't pay Dalvin Cook $8 million just in case.
Right.
You know, I think Dalvin Cook is, you know, if there's an underdog, those head-to-heads. If there's a head-to-head Breece Hall, Dalvin Cook yardage, you can't give me enough of that as far as I'm concerned for the game tonight. But there's lots of examples. I'm sure we'll get to them throughout here that FPs that are full practice but not necessarily 100%.
Speaking of horrible right now, he's speaking currently. So while we're talking, he said Ronnie Stanley was diagnosed with a sprained ankle and he's considered week to week.
Oh,
interesting.
Yes.
I thought he was able to knee during the game. It was knee questionable, but maybe it's a high ankle.
No question. It was said to be knee during the game. Yep. And we did not get good video about what
we'll have to go back on
that. His left ankle, I believe, is what's been the chronic issue for him. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is left or right. The bottom line is we'll get to it later, I'm sure. But when a coach says week to week, IR is in play.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When John Harbaugh says week to week, unless he's going the other way, which he has before.
He's playing tricky this year, right?
Look.
He's in his bag.
It's in his bag. Yeah. I don't know if you want to go to Ravens right now or not. Look, and don't get me wrong. First of all, look, John Harbaugh isn't going to hear this. And if he does, okay, so what? And record it. I haven't said anything negative about Coach Harbaugh. If anything, I'm being positive.
It's almost admiration.
If I'm a Ravens fan, I'm like, my coach is doing the right thing. I mean, you know, it is what it is. And to me, it's all fun and games, not making fun of injuries, but just the detective work.
Knee sprain. That's my fault. Knee sprain. I read the wrong thing.
Okay.
Week to week still. Week to week is right. I just read the wrong thing. It was ankle for the Linderbaum, the center.
Linderbaum.
High ankle week to week.
That's the clear high ankle video.
SICScore.com. I did it for just that minute. Yeah. No, but ankle week to week, they both are week to week though. That's an issue for the offensive line. Yeah.
Okay. Even Ravens fans, their heads spin with how many injuries they got, especially in week one. So I'll give Taylor a pass on that one. But I am biased.
But we talked about that.
I don't want to pass. Okay. I don't want to pass.
So the bottom line is,
yes,
let's talk about the Ravens now. In the war room yesterday, we shot a video. And we said week two, look ahead, whatever you want to call it. And one of our biggest takes is the Ravens are essentially – you know, the Seahawks might give them a run for their money.
They're 1A, 1B, right.
The most injured team in the league now. And it's not J.K. Dobbins, who now has a confirmed Achilles tear. And that was an interesting story. I feel bad about that. Yes, that second down marker blocked the moment of, but the way that he walked off, I should have been able to figure it out. I didn't, you know, that it was his left Achilles at the moment. In retrospect, I probably could have. There was enough information. But once I think Rap Sheet tweeted about the possibility of Achilles, I went back and looked at it and said, oh, yeah, that's what it is. But I needed that help. I'm not claiming that I got that one just off of the video and the one view. But his season, unfortunately, is over. Cam Akers made a 6-month return and wasn't that effective. There's only 5 months to Super Bowl 58. J.K. Dobbins' knee still isn't 100%. Look, it's great to have the goal of coming back, but it's just not going to happen, unfortunately. And Mark Andrews, we talked about.
I'm going to go back to the list, too. Marcus Williams as well.
Oh, yeah. Let's stay on the offensive side of the ball.
Okay, yes. There's
then,
a lot,
I guess the good news is that Odell Beckham's healthy. But Tyler Linderbaum, in game, we said high ankle sprain. No. We said weeks, but was it 2 or 4 or 6? Is it IR? IR is still on the table. We don't think it's surgery. We don't think it's months, plural, but it could be month one.
Right. Yeah.
High ankle. And Ronnie Stanley, we did not get good video, but week to week does not look good. So now you've got, you know, a bunch of additional injuries on the offensive side of the
left
ball.
Tackle and center starters. Yep.
Yeah. And the defensive side, they started out with, I don't know if anyone's noticed this, on our field views, we actually list 12 defensive players.
Yeah, no one yells at us about it.
No one really points that out. Yeah. Because I had a slot corner because we think a slot corner is that important to the defensive side of the
ball. There's a lot more three wide receivers out than two more normally, right?
Yeah, so we add a slot corner to our right. field view. If you go count the field view on offense, there's 11 players. One running back, right, and one tight end, and three wide receivers. And we match it with three cornerbacks, including right. slot receiver. So if you take the secondaries as five, quote, starters, even though you can argue it's four, the Ravens started the game yesterday with three out of the five affected. Rakia Sin was playing with his injury.
He has a chronic knee issue.
Yep. But the slot corner and the number one corner, Marlon Humphrey, were out. And now you add free safety, Marcus Williams, with the pec. Now, is it pec muscle or pec tendon? We don't know that for sure.
I have an update. Harbaugh said, he said, we'll be out for a while.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Player will decide if he's going to have surgery or not, which is usually the case.
Well, it's 100% the case for the player to decide right. to have surgery or not. Mm-hmm. You cannot force a player to have surgery. But you would never do surgery on a pec muscle tear.
Okay.
So this is not TJ Watt. This is a pec tendon tear because surgery's in play. And that's what we worried about. But the good news is, look, I'll make a prediction. He's going to have surgery because as he gets further opinions, the opinions will come back. If you have surgery, you will guarantee to return to 100%. Sooner, and you will be able to play in December.
Okay.
And that's what he's going to want, as opposed to play earlier but have weakness wrapping up and then have an off-season surgery to be no, it's just not going to work. So I think he's going to end it with a surgery. But the good news is I don't think his season is over, unlike J.K. Dobbins. But this is an interesting thing. We talked about it yesterday as we were concluding the war room. Cincinnati got spanked, and we can talk about why. I think we will again later. But I was like, the opening line was Bengals -3 at home against the Ravens, hosting the Ravens. And our algorithm was, with all these injuries, we saw where the field view were going. I said, you got to jump on that at -3. And I think it's already 3.5.
Yes.
And now with these lines here, I am not going to be surprised if it goes to 4, 4.5, despite the Bengals' bad performance as these injuries are announced. And that's the advantage of getting our stuff early in terms of what you want to do. Now, of course, if you think the Bengals are just terrible, and you want to, then you should wait and let the line climb a little bit.
Yeah.
But from injuries, we're telling you it's going to climb. And I think it's going to, let's bookmark this thing. I'd be surprised if it doesn't go to at least 4.
He said Marlon Humphrey has a shot to return this week off his foot surgery. That might be a little bit optimistic, probably. He's only missed one game. It was only a late week of August, right? So,
I mean,
end of month.
I mean, J.C. Jackson returned. How did that work out?
Yeah,
we can talk about that.
I'm just saying, like, it's a stretch. Look, it's probably not unreasonable to say that Marlon Humphrey has a chance to return, but does he have a chance to return at 100%? No.
Be effective,
the answer is going to be no.
Right.
So we'll see about that.
Yeah, it's an interesting decision to have J.C. Jackson out there. He cost them on multiple plays. I mean, we saw that Tyreek one-on-one with J.C. Jackson and Island just blow right by him for the 40-yard touchdown catch. And then late in the half, J.C. Jackson also had a pass interference. Yep. So I mean, no knock to J.C. Jackson. He's out there giving it all for his team. It's just it's a tough injury to come back from.
Well, here's what I would say. I don't know J.C. Jackson, not hating on him. I just know it's very hard for a cornerback to come back from his patella tendon rupture like he did. I just know in the preseason we saw a video of him where he's out there, he's cleared, he's doing everything, but he does not look like himself, able to react and cut and change directions on a dime. And when you're guarding any NFL wide receiver, much less Tyreek Hill, good luck.
It's usually not fair when you're healthy.
Right.
Yeah, it's not fair. And that's why in the room here, I was like, boy, Tyreek Hill might have a field day. Now, admittedly, we made a bad overall. The Chargers were the healthier team. The big weakness was J.C. Jackson, and he was splitting time even. But, boy, Tyreek Hill, I'd say a career day, but for Tyreek Hill, it's not necessarily a career day. He's just a different animal, a cheetah, you might say.
I don't know if I'm getting the yards right, but I think he said he wants 2,000 yards this year.
He did say that,
so he's on track.
Yeah, it's a good start.
Yeah. Can't knock him on that.
So. He's on track for 3,000, isn't he?
Yeah.
So again, sick data is how you get access to those field views. We're just highlighting a couple early mismatches that we're seeing. Baltimore at Cincy, Indy at Houston is going to be an interesting one. Battle of the rookie quarterbacks, Anthony Richardson dealing with the Indianapolis running back situation, self-inflicted or not. Jonathan Taylor's out. Houston dealing with 3-0 linemen out, and their free safety, Jalen Petrie, had to go to the hospital for the lung contusion.
He was coughing up blood on the sidelines, they said.
Thankfully, he's out. Looks like he's a positive outlook going forward. I don't know about this
week. He's out of the hospital.
Released from the hospital, yes.
Yeah, and look, if that were a home game for the Texans, maybe they could have skipped the hospital visit, but they're getting on a plane, and you know, you got to be safe.
Yeah.
So I get that completely. I don't know. It's not impossible for him to play, but look – Look, I don't want this. This is not like the gambling podcast. It's an injury podcast. But of course, there are gambling and fantasy implications. Richardson's going to play in that game. We've already said it. Shaq Leonard looked maybe better than I thought.
He had a couple more tackles than he should have, but
I still don't think he's himself yet after the back surgeries. But the glaring weakness there is still Houston's offensive line. And look, Baltimore played well and won easily, but the offensive CJ Stroud and a rookie, and they couldn't really move the ball. And despite some secondary issues, the O-line wasn't holding up for Houston. Now, what you have going for Baltimore is the O-line didn't do so well for Cincinnati, with some newness and the shift over of Jonah Williams. For Lael Collins, who's still out. Joe Burrow didn't do much, not because of his calf, but because of the pass rush.
He had a career low in passing yards, yeah.
And, so they maybe get that again a little bit. That's what's going for the Ravens. But also, you can't put a lot of stock into the Ravens' win against the Texans. They dominated. A, it's the Texans, no offense, but also an injured offensive line. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm quite sure with the news of the offensive lineman and Marcus Williams, that line's going to go from 3.5 to 4 or 4.5. And we'll see where it goes. I'm not the expert on that, but I just knew that 3 wasn't going to hold from Sunday night.
I want to go back to Tyreek for a second. That was tied for his second most ever receiving yards in a game. He had 269 one day.
Wow.
And 3 touchdowns that game as well.
Actually, Doc, I have that kind of day, and it's second
best. Story about Doc. That was your first ever Scott Fish team, and that's when you drafted Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill as your stack. So you actually enjoyed that game more than most.
Well, let's look at Thursday night as we head into week 2. Again, week 1's still not over. Recording this Monday morning, so the Monday night game to go. You can head to the website for the field view and a preview on that. But as we look forward to Thursday, Minnesota at Philly is going to be a very interesting game. Minnesota coming off kind of a stinker against Tampa Bay. They dropped one. So
let's just look at real quick the Jets game. Aaron Rodgers, he's got a calf issue. I don't think it's going to affect him that much. But, boy, that offensive line of the Jets, that's the question mark, right? You've got Dwayne Brown coming back off his shoulder surgery. Mekhi Becton off his knee surgery back to the right side.
Yeah.
I think you could say new, old, well, I don't know, left, right, left,
new
right.
New for the NFL, large, old, yeah. Old for college, yeah.
Yeah, and Elijah Vera Tucker with the ankle. That's going to be where the game is won or lost, when the Jets, what the Jets offensive line can do or not do. No Von Miller, but Buffalo still has a stout D-line there. So moving ahead to Thursday, Minnesota off a stinker against Tampa. Have to hit the road and play, but the Eagles have picked up some injuries here. It's going to be really hard for James Bradbury to clear concussion protocol by Thursday. It's a home game, so I guess that helps him a little bit. N'Kobe Dean with what is now confirmed with the Lisfranc, that's a bigger deal.
And they're going to be on their third string middle linebacker that game as well, which might hurt them a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, offensively, I don't think they were in sync. They're, every time I looked up, I know we had a lot of games going on and YouTube and all this craziness in the war room, but it seemed like every time they were kicking a field goal, there wasn't a touchdown celebration there in for the Eagles. So that should be interesting. Mm-hmm. If you like the Vikings, take them now, getting 7.5. That number may trickle back to 7. If you like the Eagles, then wait. That's mm-hmm. all I'm going to say.
Yep.
Yeah, Minnesota's got a couple lingering things. Garrett Bradbury, not James Bradbury, is an interesting tongue twister, but left the game with a back injury. That's not a new thing for him, but he usually plays through. Interesting to see his practice report coming up. Strong side linebacker, pass rusher, Marcus Davenport missed last week with an ankle, so we'll see if that gets a little better heading into Thursday. I want to start something new that kind of ties.
Scary.
But as anyone's followed the site, we have partnerships with Underdog, Prize Picks, Sleeper Picks, and Boom Fantasy, where people could play games, pairing props together, put some fun money on it, and try to win that way. So I'm going to do our good call of the week and our bad call of the week to keep us honest. We don't want to be touting ourselves too much. So I'll try to keep us honest with that as a minimally involved person in that process specifically. So,
all right, hit me with it.
What do you want, the good or the bad?
I don't know.
You want the bad first.
All right, do the bad.
Let's go the bad first.
The fact that you're only going to bring up one, I'll take it.
Yeah. It's kind of like a crazy,
the interest of time.
Okay.
Yes. bad one of the week, Drake London, 0 yards, 1 target.
That's a bad one.
we had the over 52.5, so just barely missed that one with the goose egg. But Ritter was 15 of 18, 115 yards on the day and a touchdown.
You're really turning the screws on that one.
Drake London. We weren't the only ones fooled by Drake London. So.
Drake London was on my Scott Fishbowl fantasy.
We're double whammied up. Yeah.
So it was. Now, here's the thing.
Why did we like him against Carolina?
Him against Carolina because of the DB he was facing.
Dante Jackson, Achilles and ankle.
Coming off Achilles and ankle. Didn't get targets. Yeah. I don't know.
J.C. Horn even left the game in the middle to help him out.
I know. And they still didn't get anything. So I don't know. But
Bijan Robinson led the team 6 targets. Mac Hollins had 4 targets. It was kind of a weird game.
To be fair, we've got 8 or 9 games going on or whatever it is. So I don't see every snap. So I can't see what the scheme was. Right. Maybe their goal was to shut down Drake London. And look, any NFL defensive coordinator can shut down any one player anytime they want.
If they choose to.
And I don't know. I don't know if it's self-inflicted and Ritter's not looking at Drake London and it's a schematic thing or it's a defensive scheme, but clearly it was not a good play that they didn't take advantage. But who knows? Maybe he's getting doubled because they knew Deontay Jackson was not 100%. Right. So who knows? But that was certainly a bad play. But I would say that there are some potentially others too, in the sense that, let me just say that Javonte Williams didn't look 100%, but he absolutely looked better than I would have thought him to have looked. He looked better than J.K. Dobbins did last year coming off his multi-ligament knee surgery. So I'd call that one as a wrong, in the sense that he got 13 carries, which is more than I would have thought.
Right.
He did better than I thought. Now, he wasn't gangbusters. We weren't dead wrong like Drake London.
He didn't have 100-plus yards. So.
Sorry, I picked the worst one.
I'd say the Javonte Williams that we were too pessimistic.
Yeah.
He had 52 yards on 13 carries.
That's more than I would have thought.
Yeah.
So we were too pessimistic. Now, is he the 20-carry, 100-yard back? Clearly not. But I would have thought he would have been – first of all, he beat the odds to even be on the opening day roster and playing. And, you know, if, to me, he was headed for 7 carries and 30 yards, right? You know, and said he got 13 and 50 something.
The one thing I'll mention, he did have 4 catches for 5. That's not his game, and I think that's when he looked the worst, when he was trying to get to the outside and catch.
Open field.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Straight ahead, he's going to look the best. Right. Open field, he's going to look the worst.
Right. And we talked in the offseason leading up to fantasy draft season, that's why they got Samaj Perine, that he was a lot more involved in that.
Who was the leading receiver week one? Like, yeah.
Well, I'll be the first to admit I was too pessimistic on Javonte Williams for week one, but I don't think 13 carries and 50 yards justifies his ADP.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Perine was the more effective fantasy back in that game, definitely.
Yeah, he had a whole yard better per carry, and he was the leading receiver. So yeah, he did a little more.
All right, on the good real quick, Terry McLaurin, under 53.5 receiving yards. He finished with 4 targets, 2 catches, 31 yards. So
well, look, that's an example of full practice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But doesn't mean 100%.
No injury status either. Yes. Yeah.
No injury status.
Never a doubt to play in that game, coming off the turf toe that he suffered in the final preseason game.
Yeah, and that one was pretty safe for an under. And
he had a 19-yard catch, too. So arguably, yeah, he wasn't. Yeah.
No, he's still Terry McLaurin. And look, it's not like he can't run a route. It's just he's not as effective on half his route tree with that right turf toe. The other one, you know, I don't know how it ended up. I only looked at it through 3 quarters. JSN, what did he end up? The scaphoid fracture.
He had 5 targets, 3 catches for 13 yards. So one was a 10-yard catch. So not as much.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. I think we stayed away because the number was so low. But interesting that he even was out there and that involved coming back from the wrist.
I saw drops. It's just hard to catch with the scaphoid fracture. There's no way it's healed. And kudos that he's out there. But 5 targets, 13 yards, 3 catches. It's fine. He was out there. Good for him.
Right.
But that would have been, that's sort of just the injury analysis. Don't take the cheese on that.
Well, going into our coach speak of the week, Coach McVay talking about Cooper Kupp and the hamstring. I think it was during the questions about, oh, he's seen a specialist, and he said, to give him credit, I don't think that news had come out yet. I think it was the re-aggravation and, oh, where's Cooper Kupp at? And he said, oh, we believe he's day-to-day. We're taking it day-by-day, day-to-day, that type of messaging. So I think you were quick to say, to translate that.
Typical. Day-to-day means week-to-week, right? And, you know, day-to-day became IR pretty quickly, right? And when you travel 3/4 of the way across the country to see a body specialist, whatever that is.
What is that?
Still not clear, but yeah.
I don't know if it's an ART guy or some.
It's a lot therapist, involved in the body.
Something about, I've told people before, what do you do for them? I work at a body shop, so I don't know.
So Steichen just talked about Anthony Richardson real quick. He has knee and ankle soreness. And he's saying they're not worried about him right now. So like we were just talking.
All right,
about,
Shane, thanks.
Yes.
No, yes. I think it's true. The trickiness with coach speak is they don't always lie. It's just and so
he also said he could have kept playing week one as well, which is what you said.
Yeah, which is what.
Yes.
See, Shane's an honest guy. No, I mean, they all have a little coach speak in them, which is good for the team, right? I mean, they're not trying to tell the other side what they have.
Yes.
As a quick aside, what was Dan Campbell doing coach speak when he was describing his coffee order? Is that embellishing a little bit? I have it right here. Two ventis with 2 espresso shots each. And as Joe Pompliano put it out on Twitter, basically the equivalent of 10 Red Bulls every morning.
That could stop your heart, right? I guess I'm not.
Well, let me say this. First of all, I don't doubt Dan Campbell.
I don't think
he's got energy.
It's not a good business to be in.
I think he's pretty authentic. And look, I see him doing push-ups with the players and whatever. I don't doubt that. And why? Look, if I had half that coffee, I mean, I had a cup here, but I'd be so jittery. But when you do that every day,
maybe it's taken out of context. Maybe it wasn't an everyday thing. But
I don't know. I've heard it before. But let me tell you something.
Routine.
You might. If you had, believe it or not, caffeine is one of the banned substances for performance enhancement in the NFL.
Because too much of it does stuff. Yeah.
You can have some caffeine. You just can't have a certain threshold.
Right.
And I'd have to go review the latest that might put you over the PED threshold. Now, coaches aren't tested for PEDs, and I'm making a little bit light of this, yeah. But 10 Red Bulls is probably enough.
How many milligrams of caffeine is it? Over 1,000.
1,100, yeah, something like that, yeah.
Now, the only thing is the PED testing is usually the next day, so it's usually washed out by you by then.
Yeah. And not the coaches either.
But
right?
They don't test the coaches. Yeah. But if Dan Campbell got randomly selected and coaches don't for PED testing the next morning and he had just done that, he probably would pop positive.
He didn't do this when he was a tight end for 11 years, you don't think then?
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. You could have, okay. And I don't know that he did,
right?
But you could have because the PED testing is not immediately after the game. Right. It's on Monday morning.
Okay.
So if you did all this caffeine before the game or halftime, it doesn't stay in your system, right? And so you still could. I'm not saying he did. And I'm making light of the fact that it's illegal, but it is technically illegal for PEDs.
Yeah, we're too deep in the weeds on this, but if he was doing that before games, he would have needed a lot of pee breaks. That would be my expectation.
Well, I don't know. If your body's used to it, I don't know, right? I mean,
no, my fiance pees a lot when she drinks coffee. I don't know if
all right, we gotta cut that off right there. We're not gonna go down the road. And can't help myself. I had one NFL player literally,
yes,
because there's no bathrooms on the sidelines. Yeah. And back in the day, they didn't have the medical tent. Now, sometimes you see a guy go in the medical tent.
It's because he comes out,
a pee break, right? Mm-hmm. You don't run off the field and all your gear and garb. I knew a guy once, and I won't say his name unless I get permission, that he literally just peed in his pants and squirted water bottle on. He's not the only one to wash it. Because you got to remember, they're head-to-toe sweat anyways. Yeah.
Right.
So he just like...
Your moisture,
let it go and just use a water bottle to...
It's like peeing in the pool.
Pretending he's in his own personal pool. Yeah.
I'm just saying. It's just,
it does happen.
Yeah. That's not analysis. That is fact.
Eyewitness testimony. Well, let's finish with the beast of the week. Once we saw the video, I don't think there's any debate among us. The Myles Garrett crossover move before the snap and then cross you over on a stunt and I'm right to the quarterback.
First of all, I looked at that and went, okay, I get it. They were harassing them all day long. But that was early in the game.
That was the sixth play of the game.
To set the tone.
Sixth play of the game. And if you look at the video, and hopefully you'll cut it in here, like he's pretending to have a crossover dribble. And maybe it's a fun message to his head coach who told him to stop playing basketball.
Yep.
But the crazy thing is he lined up everywhere. He lines up over center for his time. He basically, it's like Babe Ruth. He's like pointing at the center field wall, right? Or whatever it is. He's doing the crossover move in front of the center, and that's what he does. He does the misstep and crossover and beats him in the other A gap.
That's not a rookie center. That's like an 8-year veteran center. So.
It's just like, that is a beast move. I mean, you know, the Brock Purdy, was that Patrick Peterson, was interesting.
Yes.
But that's like in a press conference after.
Right.
You won the game. This was before the snap of the play, and you're doing the crossover move. I mean, that is a beast. And so much for his toe injury, right? I mean,
At the Pro Bowl.
We just won't see him at the Pro Bowl anymore. That's all. Yeah.
No Pro Bowl, no basketball. He's got, his only hobby is pass rushing.
He's a beast. Yes. And I'd forgotten they added Za'Darius.
They revamped that line a little bit, and they have really good run defense already. So
I think it's fair to say that he's enjoying that. Myles Garrett is so.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
They both help each other out.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Anyways, we'll make him the beast of the week. Thanks for watching here. We appreciate you. Thank you, Eric Weinberger, Believe Network. We're on with you guys now. And go to sicscore.com. The other thing is, we don't have a winner yet for our $3,000 contest.
But wait till Monday. Yeah.
It was pending Monday's game.
It's pretty good, free. Every week we'll have this free contest at sicscore.com, a pick 'em contest. Enter for free, guaranteed $1,000 to the winner. Mm-hmm. Now, I think if there's a tie, they might split it.
But, yes. Yeah.
But there's point structure, so they're likely.
So there's a likelihood less. Yes.
Not exactly. A tie. So winner gets $1,000 and it's free, and it's a pretty fun little deal. But bookmark Sick Insights. Go to Sick Data for the most details. And we did have a winning week with our. Oh, another thing is that we've moved back to the home that it belongs, is the 5 weekly picks, the Circa Westgate type game. And if you get Sick Picks, you get the picks early. If you are just on the site, you get it Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our 3-year published track record previously was 59% plus 45 units against the spread. And this is not with me picking, it's the algorithm using injuries, et cetera. And, you know, we wanted the 4-1, but 3-2, we're right on the 60%.
Another unit added to,
deal. And, you know, so that's a new feature that's brought home the website, new revamp site as well. So go check it out. Thanks for watching. Thanks, Jacob Taylor. And lots more to go this week as the fun season is in full force.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.